This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Jason Bishop, running the three-man show. Believe Bickle returns on Monday from his golf trip to Chicago. Right now, we're going to go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and talk to Nikki Javala from the Washington Post. She covers the Commanders. Hey, Nikki.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. Doing well. So the biggest headliners so far, there's only been one day of OTAs, is the fact that some pretty big names are absent. Most notably, Terry McLaurin, Laremy Tunsil, Marshawn Lattimore. I'm fine with Terry skipping. He's skipped OTAs before when he's negotiating his last contract. I understand that's the same thing this go around. I expect that to get done. Tunsil, I give a pass because he's never played for the Commanders before, and he has a reputation for skipping on a lot of OTAs. The guy that I have a problem with, and I know it's voluntary, is Marshawn Lattimore. But just because of the recency effect of him looking ineffective when he played, for the most part, after getting acquired in the trade with the Saints, I just feel like it's bad optics for him not to show up. Do you feel the same way? What's the general
vibe? Or is there a reason
that
he's not there that we don't know?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's more the veteran status where he just doesn't feel it helps him. I haven't talked to him, haven't been told that outright, but I don't get the sense that he regularly goes to OTAs when they're voluntary. So I'm not terribly surprised. I understand the concern there, especially with the way he played coming off injury. There was so much talk at the end of the season that, you know, once he gets more acclimated with the system, with the team, things will be better. And you would think he would want this time now to really start doing that. So I totally get that. They didn't seem terribly concerned. They didn't express it. If so, they have stayed in contact with him. So I would imagine he's just training on his own, much like Laremy Tunsil, certainly like Terry. There's no doubt there that Terry works hard on his own. But I totally get it. I think it becomes an issue if suddenly he doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp, which I have not heard that would be the case by any stretch, but yeah, I get it. But I think a lot of veterans are choosing that now.
Do you feel like I do, Nikki? And I think he's going to have a good year. I'm not saying he's going to have an all-pro year, but I think he's going to be much better this year than he was last year because I assume he's going to come in healthy.
Yeah, I agree totally. I do think that hamstring issue was a real issue for him. I mean, you saw it on the field. He played one game, and then two games later, he was out again. He had a rough go, and it wasn't just the hamstring. It was, you know, handling things mentally, not losing his cool on the field, which I know he has a history of, especially with a certain receiver. But I do think he'll be better. I mean, I agree with you. I don't know that he'll be where he was 2-3 years ago, but I don't, you know, given, you know, how much time he's been in the league, his age, et cetera, I don't know that that would be totally expected of most players at this point, but I do think he'll be better. I think the secondary should be better. We'll see.
Nick, you tweeted this on May 28th, at Nikki Javala. That's spelled J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A, in case people don't know that. Cliff Kingsbury said Jaden Daniels' arm strength is better, and he's, quote, stronger, no doubt. I don't care about him physically being stronger, but if his arm is actually stronger, that's improved from rookie season to year number two. That's pretty big, because his arm looked plenty strong in year one. Have you seen that? I know it's not a lot you can divulge from one day of OTAs, but have you seen that in person?
Right. I mean, I was very curious to see that. I mean, I think we'll see more once they get on the field. They were in the bubble for this one OTA that we saw because of the rain. So there's only so much you can do in there. But I am very curious. I mean, he could throw bullets like last year. So, yeah, I'm curious if it's really noticeable, if it's more of, you know, something you just see on occasional throws. But, yeah, it was hard to tell in there, honestly. But, I mean, I guess he looked – I know it was such a hot topic, and the team fueled this themselves, so I don't feel bad. I don't know that he looked bigger, to be honest, but I mean, he said he put on weight, so I don't doubt that. So maybe he is stronger, and I think it's more of a durability thing, you know? Like, he went a full year, as most rookies do, from the end of the college season with all the pre-draft stuff and right into rookie camp and OTAs and et cetera, et cetera. So you don't get a break, and that's a long season for anybody, but especially coming off, you know, a college career. And I think he really learned a lot from that. And he learned a lot from Bobby on how to, you know, maintain your body. So I think, as most players do, you know, when they reach their second or third seasons, they learn how to put on weight and give themselves some reserve going into the season. I mean, you see it with Terry all the time. You have to as a receiver.
Mm-hmm. I think Debo is going to have a big year. Let's just, you know, and we say this for every player, every player, assuming he's healthy, I think he's going to have a big year. He's in a contract year. You know, he's going to enjoy playing with McLaurin. He's going to enjoy playing in Cliff's system. I don't know. I don't know what your take is, but, you know, and I'm kind of a 49er fan, so I kind of watched him over the last 5-6 years, but I just think if he stays healthy, he's going to be a huge part of this offense.
No, I agree. And like, physically he looked good out there. I took a photo and I sent it to one of the 49ers writers just to make sure, like, he looks slimmer than last year, and like, oh yeah, he looks pretty svelte compared to where he was. And everything he says, the way he acts, he seems pretty hungry to prove himself. And I think that's a lot of what Dan Quinn and Adam Peters have tried to create, is that, and not just a roster of guys on one-year deals, which means they're all in contract years and trying to prove themselves, but they go after guys that are eager to prove themselves. You look at Zach Ertz and what he did last year, and really trying to prove he still has something left in the tank. And, you know, other guys like that, they get a lot out of them. And I think Debo could be the next one. You know, he hasn't looked like the player he was a few years ago, but I think he certainly has it all still and can get back there.
Since you mentioned Zach Ertz, what about Ben Sinnott? Are you seeing him flash at all? Should we have greater expectations for the second-year tight end?
I think we should have greater expectations, but it's that time of year, and we've only seen really one practice inside, so it's hard to tell if he's really flashed at all, but I think the expectations should be greater, no doubt, especially if they view this guy as, you know, sort of an heir to Zach Ertz if he's gone next year. You know, they didn't change that room, so you'd hope there'd be more from him. I think John Bates is a guy that is often overlooked, especially in the passing game, just because his forte is in blocking. But they did give him a significant 3-year deal, which you don't usually see for somebody with only, what, like 8 catches. So I think he's somebody that could be more involved. But yeah, I would hope you would see more from Benson. And I'm still curious to see what these guys look like on the actual field outside the bubble.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know we're 2 months away from camp, I guess, but are there a couple players, in your opinion, that really have to prove themselves more this upcoming summer? Or they'll be looking for another job.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can look at the running backs room. I think they're all kind of sort of under pressure. I mean, it's a big year for Brian Robinson, obviously, a contract year. And I think their seventh-round pick, I mean, just because he's a seventh-round pick, I think a lot of that is because of his circumstances coming out of college. I'm talking about Ta'Quarri Crosby-Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a stud. I think he could be a really good player and could put pressure on the veterans. I don't think Brian Robinson's going anywhere this year, but, like, you know, guys like Austin Ekeler, who looks really good now when he's healthy, you know, if he's dealing with anything during the season and has to miss significant time again, you know, I think that whole room, there's a ton of competition. I think somebody like Luke McCaffrey, you know, he's got a lot to prove, obviously. He didn't get a whole lot of touches, and he didn't really flash in the return game. And right. Now there's obviously Jalen Lane with his speed. He looks like a top prospect as a returner.
Right.
So I think he's definitely one. And then the secondary, I think there's still so much unknown in the secondary. And they're going to be moving guys around throughout camp just to see where they fit in best.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction going in, I think Sanders still moves back into the slot. Obviously Trey Amos and, Marshawn outside at corner, but you know, where does that leave some of the veterans they signed? And then the O-line, you know, I look at Andrew Wiley, who's sort of restructured his deal, is in the last year. Could he be one of those veteran casualties? I still think you keep him for depth at tackle. You need that. But, you know, you never know who they claim off waivers. You know, once the rosters are formed, who else they bring in. We've seen many camps where the depth on the O-line has changed.
We're joined by Nikki Javala, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com on the Rude Guest Hotline. So you touched on Jalen Lane, and we know that he's going to make an impact in the return game. Do you see him getting worked into the offense as well by Cliff Kingsbury? Because he's that fast, twitchy type of guy that he can use as like a gadgety option on offense. How much do you see him impacting the offense in year one?
I could see him getting some work. That speed alone is huge. And I think they need more of that in this offense. So I could see him getting some work, maybe more inside. And I hate saying this because I know it's such a vague and boring answer, but I think we will see more as they get on the field. When they were in the bubble, it's more like 7-on-7 and a lot of individual development work. And the only other time we've seen Jalen is in rookie minicamp. And he looks good there. But a lot of this is mostly just passing and returning and, you know, the basics. So I could see him getting some work. Again, this is where I think the pressure on McCaffrey will come in, because that's kind of, you know, if we're talking about, you know, the second half of the receiving core, like that's, he could be one of the top names there.
And there's some pretty big names that they've signed in terms of veterans. Yeah. I mean, Gallup's out there, Ja'Cory Brooks they signed, the Jacoby Jones. They still have KJ Osborne. I mean, all these guys can't make the roster, so there's going to be some decisions to be made.
Oh, totally, totally. I think that'll be an interesting room. There's not a lot of, you know, outside of Perry, Debo, maybe Noah Brown, there's not a lot of, like, super top names, but I think there's a lot of competition for those final 2-3 spots.
Mm-hmm. We did a segment, Nikki, on the Jalen Ramsey rumors, and I guess Jeremy Fowler mm-hmm. thrown out there that the Commanders might be one of those teams interested in trading for him. I don't think he will. I don't think Adam will go after him. I don't know why he would add another. I know Ramsey's a good player, but I just don't see them adding another veteran when they drafted, you know, guys in the second round the last couple of years at that position. But your thoughts on that? Is that a possibility in your opinion?
I mean, I think anything's a possibility. I think Adam has shown that he's willing to make the splash moves if he feels like his team is close. I thought the Marshawn Lattimore trade was the biggest sign of that. Like, I mean, they were, coming off at, like, 7 wins at that point? And, you know, he's shown he's willing to make the move. I don't really see – I'm with you. I don't really see the point there. Again, like, Jalen Ramsey is – you know, a great corner. I think he would be great, but like, who are you sitting down to? You just traded for Marshawn. You haven't really given him a full season. Like, who are you sitting down to put Jalen in?
Right.
I mean, I don't think so. I'm not really seeing
you're not,
it.
You're not buying into that one, right? Okay.
Not totally.
All right. Well, so practice today is outside, I assume, because the weather's nice now. I know it's going to be stormy later, but they're outside today, correct?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yep. And then they're off until. What, early next week?
Yes. Okay. I think it's a 4th. Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool.
Tuesday, Thursday? Yeah.
All right. Well, have fun. We'll maybe talk to you in the next couple weeks.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Nikki.
Bye.
Tuesday, Thursday next week.
Yep.
Okay.
Getting ramped up.
I can't take anything from OTAs that seriously. I mean, we played a clip, and it was encouraging, of Logan Paulson earlier in the show on the Take Command podcast with – our pal Craig Hoffman. And it was great to hear how Jane Daniels went through his progressions and everything. But when you hear these reports about interceptions, it's just a huge overreaction.
I know
I had fun with Sanders.
You were overreacting on Shador Sanders. Exactly.
I mean, but I really don't put that
much
stock
into it. If Shador Sanders had thrown four picks in his first OTA practice and we brought that up, you'd say, oh, but it's OTA.
I'll agree with you.
That's explained away.
Yes. Right. But if he doesn't, he throws three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You're like, you know what? It looks pretty damn good.
Hey, coming up at 9:45, we'll talk movies with Kevin McCarthy here on the.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, this is just to tweak you cakes.
Okay.
I know two things will tweak you and trigger you.
All right.
One is Shador Sanders talk. The other is Angel Reese talk. But your most followed WNBA players right now via Instagram, Angel Reese, number one, 4.9 million followers.
If people want to follow Angel Reese and they're into Angel Reese, that's fine. It doesn't affect me one way or another. You're just following a big, goofy player who tosses up bricks and then rebounds her own bricks and inflates her numbers. That's all. I just want to point that out if you're a big fan of Angel Reese.
Did you hear
Reese.
What I said? Who are the two names that trigger him the most right now in sports?
WNBA players, Reese and Clark.
No, not Clark at all. Neither has an impact on me. But I'm just,
no. But he's triggered by Reese. By another player in sports.
JP's trying to invent this narrative. Like he cares so deeply about Shador, and I guess
I don't care about Shador. Yeah,
I don't care about. I just enjoy that you're triggered by him.
No, he's deflecting.
Like I watch an Angel Reese game. I don't.
You must care so much about. Well, I know you care about Shador, and you must really care about Angel Reese because you bring her up all the time.
To watch you get triggered.
Do I ever bring up Angel
he
Reese?
He likes to rankle you.
Do I ever bring up Angel Reese out of thin air? I don't know that it's ever happened. I'm pretty sure it hasn't happened. I might react to Angel Reese.
Don't know.
Her Can't name remember. Being
But
put
you
out there.
Have a reaction to it, which I enjoy watching your reaction.
Well, I don't understand why people are a big fan of somebody who literally shoots bricks from 4 feet out multiple times, and then she rebounds her own bricks. And then
it's because
eventually scores a layup.
She's kind of like the Draymond Green of the WNBA.
It's because she's hot. That's why. Like some people think she's attractive.
Well, okay, maybe
that's her thing.
Some people do. Some people don't.
I just don't. JP always like he brings up these people, and is he doing it just because he doesn't want a reaction? Like you're
JP or they're. Cakes, you know what? Next time he says it, just sit there in silent protest.
Here's a game for you guys. Top five. We played top five earlier. So she's number one Instagram followers. Caitlin Clark is number two. Can you get anybody else in the top five?
From the WNBA?
Yes. It's got to be the hot chick that plays with Caitlin Clark. Is it Cunningham?
She's not in the top five.
How about Ionescu? She's a really good player.
I'm going to go, because I saw this interaction on Twitter, I saw KD hanging out with Cameron Brink.
Well done. There's one more in the top five.
Hold on. Who else would be top five WNBA?
Breonna Stewart.
Paige Beckers.
Paige Beckers. Dude, you guys got some WNBA knowledge.
WNBA cakes over here. I don't know what to tell you.
All right. I brought that up.
Now, she plays for the Dallas team, correct?
The Wings,
yes.
Oh,
I just clicked off it. I'm not positive.
So think about it. The number one pick in the WNBA draft.
Do this. Let's see if we can name all of the WNBA franchises. Pull up the list. I want to go around the horn.
I couldn't contribute.
All right, I got the list here.
Okay.
All right, you throw the franchise city, and I'll see if I can pull the name.
All right, well,
I think I could do that.
I think we could probably do it.
Those are easy, I would think.
New York Liberty.
The only one that would be tough is Golden State.
Valkyries.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Gotten that.
But all the other ones are easy. Atlanta.
Dream.
Yep, Phoenix.
Hold up, Mercury.
Minnesota.
Lynx.
Yeah. I mean, those are easy. But think about this. So the WNBA number one, wasn't Becker's the number one pick in the WNBA draft.
Yes.
Goes to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Number one pick in the NBA draft's going to Dallas.
Mm, something happening there.
Dallas getting hooked.
Look at that.
In the hoops drafts.
Couple of NFL nuggets. Jason's still a 49ers fan, although I don't think his passion is where it was.
I'd say allegedly a Niners fan.
It's not.
Some people are saying they're going to have a bounce back year. Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, says he told the guys he understands why they struggled a year ago. He will not understand it this year.
Mm.
Well, they could be a sneaky team. Don't they have the easiest schedule?
They do have the easiest schedule in the league.
But they've got, and they drafted a bunch of defensive players. I think their first five picks were defensive players. They certainly wanted to improve on the defensive end. But I still have questions on Purdy, because if you don't give him a lot of weapons and he's got to do it all himself, I just don't believe he's talented enough. And McCaffrey, I just think he's going to get banged up again. I mean, apparently he's looked really good in OTAs, but I mean, it just takes one injury and then you're on to Isaac Grendo.
So the 49ers under Kyle Shanahan have been to the Super Bowl twice, lost both matchups.
Yeah.
Interestingly, what happened the season after both of their Super Bowl appearances?
Poop-a-doops.
6-10 in 2020, and they just won six games last year.
Now, last year was last year was all based on injury.
Yes.
For the most part.
They've bounced back, so it's kind of a yo-yo situation. So you might have to keep your eye on the 49ers.
Their first 4 weeks, they open at Seattle, at the Saints, home to the Cardinals, home to the Jags.
Okay. I mean, on paper.
Pretty manageable first
month
for them.
On paper, it looks like a 3-1 start, but
potentially.
Who knows? I mean, Ayuk is still banged up. Who knows when he'll be back? Pearsall's got to take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
And then the defense.
Jennings is a stud.
Jennings is good.
Yeah.
McCaffrey has to stay healthy. And then these defensive players that they drafted, you know, especially Michael Williams and Alfred Collins, they drafted those top two picks. They got to turn into really good players quickly.
Speaking of a guy who got picked pretty high in his draft, he's 25 years old now and he's lamenting on his situation. Will Levis said, "Anybody who's ever been in my situation would agree that it sucks. I'm just trying to do the best I can to not let it affect me and just being the same dude every day in the building and being there for the guys however I can and just trying to get better every day." His situation is they drafted Cam Ward with the number one pick.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be playing.
He's going to be the backup. I would expect Cam Ward to start from day one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you pick him 1-1 to have him sit behind Will Levis for a month.
Nope.
People are grilling him on social media saying, "Oh, such a tough situation." He's signed a 4-year, $9.5 million deal.
Right.
Now, that's not Mariota money as a backup.
No.
But he's earning a good salary. It's not so bad to be Will Levis.
Oh, of course. He's doing great. But when you're the first pick of the second round, you expect more from yourself and certainly from that pick. You're kind of surprised that he's failed that quickly.
Any buzz at all on Cam Ward? I hear nothing about Cam Ward.
No, I was reading some stuff that Levis actually has been decent in the first couple days of OTAs, but I didn't see much on Ward.
You know, we've talked a lot about how...
But like you said, you can't put a lot of stock into the OTA's numbers.
You know, we've talked a lot about NIL money the last couple of years and how it's changed the landscape of sports. Indiana became a really good college football team a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
New coach, and they finished 11-1, which was great. Their coach, call him Rick Signetti now, because he's bitter that Indiana basketball seems to have been prioritized with the NIL money. They hired a new head coach on the basketball side, and apparently they wiped out their entire roster. So their head coach is using all the NIL money to bring in basketball players. The Hoosiers signed 10 transfer hoopers, including the coach's son, by the way.
Yep.
Is it DeVries?
DeVries, yeah.
DeVries.
Well,
so
I mean,
Kurt Cignetti's bitter.
Well, I'd like to see how much money we're talking about. I'd love to see the comparisons.
Well, with what he did his first year at Indiana, and how many times Indiana hoops has failed over and over and over again to try to get that program restarted.
Yeah,
they should be letting Cignetti do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He took him to the college football playoff in year one. Are you kidding
me? That's pretty impressive for Indiana. I mean, they've always been pretty much a doormat in Big Ten football.
I mean, he's on, yeah, Google him, as he says.
Right.
Yep, he did say that.
Google my results.
So Matt Norlander of CBS Sports said that Indiana basketball is in the prestigious $10 million club.
Well, I mean, it is a basketball state. And it has been a basketball state for a long time. Indiana certainly was a basketball school, but football makes the money.
Well, I mean, I just looked
football
up.
Football makes the money.
I just
especially
Googled
in the Big Ten.
Kurt Cignetti, he's making $8 million to coach Indiana.
Yeah.
That seems insane.
And he wants investment in his team because he delivered an 11-1 season. And I think Drab brings up a good point. The basketball team hasn't been delivering.
I mean, how underpaid is a guy like Ryan Day if Cignetti's pulling in $8 million?
Well, they did get he got a brand new contract like around Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Because they were, I think, 10-0.
Yeah.
Hey, we spent a little time yesterday talking about the Stephon Diggs situation. Diggs not at the OTAs for the New England Patriots. He was seen on a boat with a bunch of women. Apparently, he's dating Cardi B and Cardi B's not happy about it, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You know what?
Cardi B's frustrated that Stephon was flirting with the women.
Good. Please, Cardi B, please break up with my guy, Stephon Diggs, okay? You're a bad influence on my guy, Stephon Diggs. Stephon, I said this yesterday, you can do better. I mean, you're Stephon freaking Diggs. You don't need to slum and date Cardi B.
Of course, video captured Diggs lounging shirtless and chatting with three women, all dressed in bikinis, who called him daddy.
With the pink stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toward the end of the clip, you see the plastic bag containing the unknown substance that the women took from him. Insider says Cardi, for her part, said she doesn't want her man flirting with any ladies. Girls will throw themselves at him all the time, but she wishes he wouldn't be a scumbag and flirt back.
Hey, Hicks, I think Cardi B's Q rating is much higher than Diggs.
I think so, too.
I'm sure you're right. I'm just talking about my own personal biases. In my world, Stephon Diggs, he's a superstar. Yeah, in my world, Cardi B is a nothing.
Cakes can't say he a terp about Cardi B.
Right. I mean, she means nothing to me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I thought you were just saying in the grand scheme of things.
No, I understand that in the world, Cardi B, I'm sure, is a bigger star than Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
But I don't care about the rest of the world. I care about my narrow viewpoint. And in my narrow viewpoint, Stephon Diggs is a megastar. And Cardi B, if she were rapping on the corner, I would roll my windows up and drive right by her.
You're not a big fan of I Like It like that? Or was that a song? I think she did. Or maybe it was I Like
the
It.
The only song I know by Cardi B is WAP. It's the only file I've got on her.
I Like It.
It's all I got.
This whole story is the biggest nothing burger ever. Because
a lot of burger talk on the show today.
Cardi B in other videos is right there with the same women at the same time. They're like slapping her butt.
Right.
A source says to Daily Mail or whatever. This is so stupid. They're all in on it together, all partying together. Cardi B probably filmed this video.
But she doesn't want her man to be a scumbag and flirt back.
Well, I mean.
No, says the source.
I know. I mean,
doesn't she have a very checkered past, Cardi B? Or am I completely missing on her?
I know you'll be upset to know this. She's worth $80 million, Cakes.
Well, that's fine. I mean, there are a lot of people that are semi-talented that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. I would put her in that club.
Bish Bucks, do you want your first three stops for the Big Noon kickoff on Fox college football season?
Yeah, give them to me.
August 30th. Texas Longhorns head to Ohio State.
That's a biggie.
That's a pretty big one. That's a good way to kick off the season.
I feel Big Noon kickoff, though, is still getting their asses kicked by ESPN.
I would imagine. I don't know.
September 6th.
That's going to be a big one. A lot of people are going to watch
that. What about Maryland, Florida Atlantic? Drab was talking about that during one of the breaks. Come on, Drab. Why are you
September 6th,
the Terps?
You've got Iowa State. And then
all right, that's
September 13th, Oregon at Northwestern.
Ugh.
That's a Big Ten matchup, right? Isn't Oregon Northwestern
yes,
Big Ten?
Big Ten now. It's gross. Drive them with you.
Big Ten rivalry.
They belong in the Pac-12. This is nonsensory that Oregon is in the Big Ten. Defends me.
Nonsensory?
Yeah.
Defends my... Yeah, I just made up that word. That's just one of my words. It's crazy.
Well, I would love... It is crazy, but I would love for it to be next week.
Well, we all
I would love for college football to be here next week.
Well, without actually losing those 2 months of our lives.
Well, I'm not saying
I don't want to sacrifice that.
No, but I'm looking forward to the football season. Hold up.
Going back to a callback from earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't give up your Bitcoin. You wouldn't give up your ring.
No.
Would you give up 2 months of your life for that Capitals Stanley Cup?
2 months of my life?
Yes. It's on the back end. It's unknown.
As long as you guarantee that it's on the back end. That doesn't even make sense.
Well, how would it be on? How would it be in the middle?
that's dumb. Yeah, if I'm old, I have to guarantee that I would live to be pretty old, because then I'm just going to bank on the last 2 months.
What
being,
if I'm only guaranteeing
garbage.
You? I'm going to guarantee
how old?
Average life expectancy.
77, 78.
Yeah.
All right. So I perish at 78, but instead of 78, like December, I'm gone in October. Get me to Halloween and I'm good.
Yeah, you would definitely do it.
Yeah, sure. Yes, easily. Because I'm not even remember who the Capitals are by that point.
Coming up next, Kevin McCarthy joins us to fill us in on the movies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here on The Fan.
All right, we'll get to Kevin in just a minute, but I have to explain to people, if you're interested in coming out to watch Old Glory DC Rugby, tomorrow night is Fan Appreciation Night. JP and I are going to be there. We'll be there starting at 5 o'clock. If you want to buy tickets, go to oldglorydc.com. You can get $10 tickets, but here's how you do it. You click on general admission ticket, and then when you're checking out, under your payment method, there's a little tab that says voucher or gift card. At that point, you type in junkies, and you get your discount for your $10 tickets. I'll tweet that out later, just so people know, but you can go to oldglorydc.com. When you pay... You hit junkies under voucher or gift card. That enables your discount. So we will see you tomorrow at the Maryland Soccerplex starting at 5 p.m. The game kicks off at 6. I hope I explained that correctly.
Sounded
just cleared
like you
up
did.
Some things yep. that needed some clearing
I know
up.
It was very confusing leading up to today.
Yes, but you know what?
You
I just brought a moment of clarity to things.
All right, Kevin McCarthy, Fox 5 joins us right now.
Happy hey, Friday, Kevin.
Is it time to get Rick?
Kevin, I'm going
no,
to...
No, it's friendship time.
It is friendship time, but I'm going to offend you slightly right. on the beginning here. I know this okay. would upset you greatly. I went to the Metallica show. It was awesome. Your walk-up song is Walk by Pantera.
Yeah.
I only saw like the last half of the last Pantera song because traffic was a nightmare. It was an issue getting there. I couldn't see your boy Phil Anselmo and company do the whole set.
You were hobnobbing wow. too.
Mm-hmm. I was glad handing too. This is correct.
What? How was it raining the whole show, or did it stop?
No, it actually stopped around 7 o'clock.
Oh my gosh! Wait, how was? Last time I saw Metallica was at M&T Bank Stadium, like years and years ago, with Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it was just an incredible show.
Oh,
like production.
They slaughtered. How about they came out of the gates with Creeping Death and For Whom the Bell Tolls were their first two songs.
Wow.
So you think that wasn't amazing?
I'm sure. I mean, like, it's just amazing to me. I read something the other day about the Black Album being like 30 times platinum or something now, which is like one of the biggest. I mean, obviously it's been one of the biggest albums of all time, but I think it's like creeping up to, I don't know where it lists now as like the highest selling. Is it like Thriller and AC/DC?
I mean, it's
and
up there.
Metallica?
It's amongst the big boys.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah, and he was feeling pretty. He was feeling pretty good on Thursday morning when he was in here after about two and a half hours. Yeah,
it was worth it.
Well, I have to know because the reason why I don't go to a show, like especially like when it's in a large stadium like that, is the time it takes to leave. Like every time I go to Jiffy Lube, it takes like 2 hours to leave that place. Like, what was your timing getting out of there?
I was on the Beltway in about half an hour after the show was done. 30 minutes.
Yeah, he said it
minutes.
Wasn't that bad.
Wasn't too bad.
Pretty surprising. I mean, wasn't there like 80,000 people there?
I don't know if it was 80,000, but it was a substantial amount of people. All right, enough about Metallica. We only have about 6 minutes here. What did you see? What do we need to go see over the weekend? And or what are we streaming this weekend?
Yeah, so there's two big films this weekend. The first one's called Bring Her Back, and the other one is Karate Kid Legends. Let's start off with Bring Her Back. This is a film directed by the filmmakers who brought you Talk to Me. I don't know if you guys saw that horror film where it was the characters would like hold on to that hand, and it would like essentially connect them with the devil.
You think we saw that?
The other side. It's pretty wicked stuff, and like genuinely terrifying. Talk to Me was. I rewatched it recently, and it's very scary. And Bring Her Back is another film that kind of deals with grief and horror, and I think one of the more lesser talked about elements of horror movies in general is why we watch these movies. And I think there's a catharsis that comes from it as an audience member, because horror films really, if you really boil them down, they're about grief. I mean, some of the best horror films are about grief and kind of like dealing with grief. You think about Hereditary and obviously, you know, just there's so many Shining. There's just so many horror films that kind of play in that world. And so this particular film deals with a brother and sister essentially who are, you know, lose their father and kind of move in with a foster parent played by Sally Hawkins' character. And essentially, you know, she is not who she says she is. And the concept of the film, why it's called Bring Her Back, is there's a character trying to connect back with a loved one that they lost. And I won't go into too much detail on that, but it's one of the more disturbing horror films I've ever seen in terms of just the way it deals with brutality, the way it deals with grief. When you're emotionally invested in characters like you are when you're watching Bring Her Back, the violence and the disturbing nature of it just hit that much harder. But at the same time, it also pushes your, you know, limits essentially as an audience member, because you understand why characters are going through what they're going through. You don't understand their decision making, but you understand why and why they're feeling the way they are. And that kind of becomes an interesting moral aspect for the audience. It's a really terrifying, very disturbing, very brutal film. It's one of those movies where I wish I could unsee a lot of the imagery in it, but I'm also going to tell you it's a good movie. It's worth seeing if you can handle the material. I just want people to understand going into that for me, it took me a couple days to shake it. And that's how disturbing it is. So I just want to warn people, this is not like your popcorn, you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer type of horror film. This is a film that dives really deep into the element of grief but uses horror in that way to kind of play with that world. It's very, very, very messed up. But I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. I think it's an incredibly well-made film, but it's hard for me to recommend it. So I just want to kind of put it out there like that. Like I would rather have not seen it, but I have, and it is something that I think is worth seeing if you can handle the material.
Sounds too disturbing. Yeah, I mean, I'm a horror guy. I have it in my passages.
That's a great sell.
It is a pretty good sell by Kevin. Well
done.
It's
really, really messed up. Yeah, it's really messed up. But yeah, if you can handle it. I mean, there's a scene in this film that I saw the movie, what, 3 weeks, two, three weeks ago? I still hear the sound of what happened in the scene in my mind echoing. Like I wish, and every time I see the object that's in this scene in real life, I'm like brought back to that moment in the film. It's like it's one of those like defining images in cinema and horror cinema that I will never forget.
Kevin, we only have a minute left. Tell us about the new Karate Kid movie. I saw you interviewing
Don't. I mean, how many Karate Kids are we?
What's this one called?
I think you were interviewing Jackie Chan, right?
Karate Man.
Yeah, Karate Kid Legends. And so, it's 40 years, obviously, since the original Karate Kid came out in 1984. This is basically bringing together the Daniel LaRusso character, Ralph Macchio, and then the Jackie Chan character from the 2010 film, where, remember, he was with Jaden Smith. And those two characters, quote unquote, legends of the Karate Kid universe, are coming together to help train a young kid played by Ben Wong, who is essentially trying to fight in a tournament. And it's a, you know, he's not a young kid. He's actually he's a teenager in the film. But
two worlds collide
in real life. But yeah, it's really, really, you know, to me, I enjoy these movies. This one is definitely very fast paced in terms of its editing. It's a little uneven at times, but I did find it to be, it has that heartwarming nature that you see in the Karate Kid film. So I don't think it's a great movie, but was I kind of cheering at the end? Sure. Cause I always love the story of somebody. Who's
right, what's your rating? We got 10 seconds
and then overcomes it. I would give it like a 3 out of 5. It's
3 out of 5.
Great.
Yuck.
It's all right, solid. Kevin, we got to roll. Yeah. Have a
see
great weekend for Cakes and Bish. Be Mitch and Finley up next.
We are out of here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.